This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
Good morning. Well, we bring you greetings from the Prison Initiative Program for our students over at Kirkland and Camille. We're excited. We're about to graduate another group of men in December. This will be cohort number 7, and they'll be joining the ranks of 95 graduates serving in 22 institutions around the state of South Carolina. And so we're excited about that. As you know, if you've had any opportunity to go or just to hear about our program, you know that our students over there are fervently praying for you, and I know that you are praying for them as you're all of us matriculating to get through to graduation. Amen. We also want to extend an invitation to you from the church, Temple Zion Baptist Church. This Saturday, we'll be doing our annual missions conference, and we would love to invite you to come to our missions concert on Saturday at 2:30. It's a free concert. If you're not doing anything around that time, you can come and join us as we just celebrate the Lord and create more awareness and more opportunity to give God glory as we talk about missions, both locally and globally. So we'd love to have you. I think everybody knows where my church is at this point, because when during the flood and the bridge was out, everybody had to go past my church to get to CIU. So we thank God for the exposure, amen. Trying to find some good out of that, and God is gracious. Well, there is a word from the Lord, and I want you to join me in a very familiar passage of Scripture in Psalms 23. If you would join me there. Kind of hesitated as far as I was praying as to where would the Lord have us go, and he just kept nudging me to lift up Psalms 23. I hesitated because that's such a familiar text that I believe often when we run across a passage of Scripture that we're very familiar with, sometimes it can lose its impact. Sometimes we can underestimate the Word of God, even the psalm, especially if we haven't memorized, because we think when we have something memorized, we have some mastery over it. But I want to invite us to look at this psalm as if we've never read it before today, and let's study to see what it has to say to us today. Let me pray again. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for each and every person that is here. We thank you for Dr. Jones in Washington, D.C. Continue to be with him as he represents this school. We ask, oh God, that you would be with us now, that you would get all the glory, and that you would allow this word to just speak to us where we are. In Jesus' name, amen. You may have this memorized, but if you want to, we can recite it together. We're going to look at the Psalm 23 in its entirety, and just want to share a little bit from this passage today. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me into the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. This is a psalm of David. And David, as we know, served as a shepherd, as he shepherded his father's sheep. And I can imagine David pulling correlation from his responsibility and his service as he shepherded his father's sheep, that he began to make direct correlation to God, his father, and he being his sheep. And so David made this confident, very confident statement in Psalms 1, Psalm 23, verse 1. Not only was it confidence, but it was also contentment, because he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not be in want." This is David's thesis statement. This is David's reason for writing this psalm. He makes this very clear declaration. This is his homiletical proposition as he begins to preach why he believes the Lord is a shepherd and he's not in need of anything. He says it emphatically, and verse 1 is his main point, his main idea. Verses 2 through 6, he explains why he means what he means when he says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want of anything." Let me pause and just give credit where credit is due. I love this psalm. I think this is probably a lot of people's favorite, but this psalm really opened up for me when I was studying in my master's MDiv program under the tutelage of Dr. Alex Luke. I don't know if he's here today, but he really opened this up for me to help me to see this, and I want to appreciate him. One of our greatest professors. All of our professors are great. Would you not agree? But he really inspired me. But this psalm here, Psalms 23, David says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I'm not in need of anything." And then he goes on to explain what he means. He says in verse 2, he says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures." He says, "The Lord is my shepherd. He sets my pace. He controls my movement. He makes me lie down in green pastures." See, sheep are not very smart. Very docile, but they're not very smart at all. And they could literally run themselves to death. And so the shepherd, the loving shepherd, has to sometimes slow them down and even make them to lie down so that they can get the proper rest that they need. And he doesn't make them lie down in a bad spot, but a place where they can find the proper nutrients they need to continue on the journey. See, David is taking us on a journey here, and he's showing us how good his shepherd is. Some of us may come to that realization in our own life. Some of us just don't know when to slow down. And sometimes, because of that, our God, our loving shepherd, sometimes he has to make us lie down. He has to make us stop. Don't fall into the situation where you're so busy and you're running so hard, even for the Lord, that the Lord has to make you lie down. I've seen too many who have to look up from a bed because they're sick and ill because they don't know when to rest. And they have to look up, and the Lord, who wants to get our attention, has a way of making us attentive to him by stopping us in our tracks and having us to look up to him and say, "Okay, Lord, I'm listening." The shepherd made him lie down in green pastures. That's a good Lord. That's a good shepherd. David says, "He's my shepherd. I shall not be in want of anything." He goes on to say, "He leads me beside the still waters." See, sheep are so docile, so fearful, that they won't drink from a bubbling brook. And so what the shepherd would do in his love and care, he would carve out a channel so that the moving waters can slow down into that little channel so that the sheep can drink from it. He puts us in a place where we can be still and tranquil and peaceful. That's what a shepherd would do. Every now and then, he calls us, he beckons us to slow down so that we can rest, so that we can find peace and tranquility. A lot of us are Marthas. We're just busy, distracted, disgruntled. But every now and then the Lord has to calm us down like he calms Martha down and says, Martha, you're distracted. You're encumbered on too many things. Be like Mary. Sit at my feet. Find peace. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He takes the time to really work on us, not only spiritually, emotionally, but he wants to restore us even physically. That's what a good shepherd would do. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You know, what I love about this portion here is that he's saying that the Lord will guide us and lead us on the right path, not for our sake, but for his name's sake. In other words, he's saying that God will get us through because he has his name staked on us getting through. It's his reputation that we are his sheep, that he's going to get us through because he's jealous over his name. And by his name, he'll keep us on the right path. Isn't that good? That's a good shepherd. He leads us in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Here up until this point, David is telling us the Lord is his shepherd. He shall not be in want. And we get this imagery on this journey of life that the shepherd will take good care of us. Notice the imagery. It's kind of like the shepherd is leading his sheep on the mountainside. It's beautiful. It's tranquil. It's green. It's flowing. It's peaceful, tranquil waters. It's a place of restoration. It's a place of renewal. It's the right path to be on because he's leading us. But David wants us to know that he's not only our shepherd on the good days. Not only is he our shepherd on the mountainside, but then he changes the scenery drastically when he gets to verse 4. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he says, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. David says, he's my shepherd on the good days, when it's nice and tranquil and green, when it's beautiful and peaceful and I'm being restored and refreshed and I'm on the right path. But he also says, but he's my shepherd in the valley. When it's dark, when it looks like death, when it's dangerous, he says the Lord is my shepherd there too, because he changes the scene for us, because every now and then the Lord, he loves to lead us on the mountainside. But every now and then, the Lord will lead us in the valley. Why would God do this? Why would he lead us in the valley of the shadow of death? Remember here, the metaphor is that David is a sheep and God is a shepherd. And it assumes that David is following the shepherd wherever he leads. So he leads us on the mountain, but he also leads us in the valley. I see that in the New Testament when Jesus, when he was baptized, the Bible said the Spirit of the Lord led him into the wilderness to be tested. Why would God lead us into a valley of shadow of death? Because only when we actually go there, we won't choose to go there, but God will lead us there. Only there will we find that the shepherd can provide for us, even in the valley. Some of us might feel like we're in the valley right now, feel like that shadow of death is upon us. I just want to encourage you today, the Lord is still your shepherd. If you keep following him, he'll show you that he can provide for you, even in the valley of the shadow of death. David says, I'm not afraid of anything. Why? Because he says, you are with me. I want you to note something here. In verses 2 and 3, on the good days, David talks about the Lord in the third person. He says, he makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside the still waters, and he restores my soul, and he leads me in a path of righteousness for his name's sake. He's talking about the Lord and how the Lord is providing for him on the good days. But when he's in the valley, notice he changes the pronoun. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. It's as if David is saying, yeah, he's there on the good days. But when I'm going through in the midst of my stuff, I'm not talking about him now. I'm talking to him now. Have you ever experienced when you go through, it seems like the Lord is that much more closer to you in the midst of your struggles? David says, I can talk about him, but when I need him, he's right there with me. He says, you are there. You're right there with me. And your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I know we've studied this psalm and we know about the rod and how the shepherd's rod has kind of a dual purpose. One is to stave off the enemy that comes against us, and he used that part of the staff to do that. But another part of the staff has kind of a crook on the end, and he uses that part of the staff when we fall into ditches, when we get into trouble, he takes that crook and wrap it around our necks and pull us close to him to protect us even from ourselves. That's why David says, I don't have to fear, because his rod, his protection is there. His provision is there. What else do we find in the valley? We find that there's a table. Verse 5 says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. See, I submit that the reason why God will bring us in the valley is so we can experience this table. At this table, there's protection. That's what he says. He says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Can you picture it? There's a table, there's a spread right in the valley, and the shepherd with his sheep. And on the other side of the table, there's the enemy trying to get to the sheep to devour him. And he's pacing back and forth, trying to figure out how he's going to get to the sheep. The problem is that the sheep are protected by the shepherd. And the shepherd is there at this table, and the sheep sees this. They see the enemy lurking there, but the enemy can't do anything. He's powerless because the shepherd is there. You know, it's customary when you invite somebody into your home and you prepare a meal for them. They are your guest and you are the host. And because you are the host, they're under your protection. And so as if David is saying here that while I'm under the protection of the shepherd and I'm his sheep, the shepherd would say, you can't get to my sheep unless you go through me first. There's protection at this table, even in the valley. We don't have to be afraid of the enemy because our shepherd is right there to protect us. There's some other things here at this table. Not only is there protection, but there's a physician at the table. He goes on to say that you anoint my head with oil. You know, oil in Scripture, it's often used for medicinal purposes. And remember, this is the metaphor of David being a sheep to God being his shepherd. And you can imagine that, you know, even up to this point, the sheep had to follow the shepherd on the mountainside, the green pastures, the still waters. Now they're in the valley. And as the shepherd follows the sheep, they're being scraped, and all the thorns and thickets are scratching their skin. Parasites are climbing up on their skin. They don't have any means by which to heal themselves or protect themselves. And the sheep are just following the shepherd. But the wilderness experience causes cuts, scrapes, and bruises. And so a loving shepherd, what would he do? He'd take his hands and put oil on them. And starting from the head, he would anoint the sheep's head, starting from the head all the way down to their feet. And that oil begins to soothe all the bonds, all the cuts. It cleans out all the parasites. See, on this journey of life, God knows that we're going to be cut, we're going to be bruised, we're going to be wounded. But at this table, the shepherd, he puts us in his hands. And starting from our head, the crown of our head, to our feet, He provides the healing that we need. Whatever scrapes you find yourself in, whatever cuts and bruises, whatever wounds that you've experienced, the Lord is your shepherd, and he'll take care of you. There is a protection here. There is a physician here. But there is an abundant supply of providence here. He says, my cup runs over. David is giving us this imagery that he, the cup is full, that the shepherd provides, and as he drinks, it just never empties out. It just keeps, he keeps drinking, and he can't keep up with the abundant supply that the shepherd provides. If you're lacking anything today, God is here to tell you that my supply is endless. I have an abundant supply for you. Whatever you need, if you're thirsty, come and drink. If you're hungry, I have bread. There's an abundant supply of providence from the shepherd. So David, we see him on the mountainside. We see him in the valley, and he's saying, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. David has been taken care of up to this point. And so now David begins to reflect even beyond where he is presently and begins to think more futurely. He says, surely, after you've done such a good job of providing my every needs, I'm not in want of anything. Surely your goodness and your mercy will follow me. So David sees the Lord being a shepherd in his past. He sees the Lord being a shepherd in his present, but even in his tomorrow, God's got it. His shepherd's taking care of it. And he says, surely your goodness or your mercy, your goodness and your loving kindness shall follow me. That word follow is too passive. It's more of the idea of pursuit, of chasing. In other words, David's saying that your goodness and your loving kindness will chase me like two hound dogs, nipping at my heels all the days of my life, chasing me down to consume me. His goodness and his faithful love. Have you ever looked back on your life and you think about where God has taken you, say, God is good? Have you ever looked back on your life and you see how God has provided for you and you say, God is faithful? That's what David is saying. His goodness and his faithful, steadfast love, his mercy shall chase me down all the days of my life. And then he says, I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's recap, if we looking at this passage. David is saying, the Lord is my shepherd. I should not be in want. He says he's my shepherd on the good days, when it's green and tranquil and peaceful. He's my shepherd in the mountains, but he's also my shepherd on the bad days, when I'm in the valley, when I'm in a low spot. He's my shepherd when I'm young and dumb and don't know when to lay down. But then he says, your goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So he's also talking about he's my shepherd when I'm old and gray, when my life is almost over. He's my shepherd because he leads me. That's what he talks about in the first part. He leads me. He's in front. He leads me. He guides me. He leads me. But when I'm in trouble, he's my shepherd because he's right there beside me. But also, surely, his goodness and mercy will be behind me. You might have somebody who, they might even tell you, I'll take a bullet for you. Anybody got somebody like that where they'll jump in front of a bullet for you? Not too many people raise your hand. And you might have somebody who say, you know, I'll be right there beside you through thick and thin. Anybody got somebody say, I'll be beside you no matter what happens? And you might have somebody who even say, I got your back. I got your back. I got you covered. Anybody got somebody got you covered? The problem is that same person can't be in three places at one time. But David says of the Lord, he leads me. In other words, he's in front of me. He's beside me. And he's behind me. In other words, the shepherd got me covered always. He's my shepherd in the good days. He's my shepherd in the bad days. He's my shepherd on the mountain. He's my shepherd in the valley. He's my shepherd because he's in front of me. He's my shepherd because he's beside me. He's my shepherd because he's behind me. He's my shepherd because he takes care of my past. He's my shepherd because he takes care of my present. He's my shepherd because even in my tomorrow, he's right there. He's my shepherd when I'm young and dumb and don't know when to lay down. And he's my shepherd when I'm old and gray. I can talk to him when I need him. He's always around me. He takes good care of me. He's my protector at the table. He's my provider and my healer when I need healing. He's my abundant supply source when I'm dry and empty. He's my shepherd and I'm not in want of anything. And at the end of this, he says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David says at the end of this journey, when I started with him, he was there in my past, he's there in my present, he's there in my future. Before I was, he's there. And when I'm ready to go home, he's there. And I don't see anywhere where David is wondering at the end of this journey if he is going to make it into the house of the Lord. Because he put his faith in the shepherd, he doesn't say, I hope I will dwell in the house of the Lord. He says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord. And he's not boasting on himself. He's boasting on his shepherd because his shepherd keeps his promise. So we've seen this and we see David saying to us, his declaration, his confidence and his contentment. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. So the question I got to ask each of us is, what are you worried about? What are your concerns today? Wherever you find yourself on this journey, remember David's declaration and make it your own. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. I don't need a thing beyond him. Father, we thank you for being a good shepherd. Of course, we know in the New Testament, the scripture is clear that the shepherd we're referring to is Jesus himself. He's the good shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep. The Hebrew writer tells us he's the great shepherd. And Peter says, after it's all said and done, if we're faithful to him, the chief shepherd shall appear and give us a crown that doesn't fade away. May we, O God, be committed sheep to you because you're our good shepherd and we're not in want of anything. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.